Hi, I'm Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place for women in their second half of life to go to receive inspiration. If you are at a place where you believe your best days are behind you, it is my hope one of these episodes will spark you to think differently and lead you to a new belief that your second half may actually be your best half. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that the younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age or circumstances hold you back from the pursuit of a more fulfilling and fun life. The happier we are, the better the world will be. So instead of settling for what you don't want, how about going after what you do want? Listen in and let something you hear prompt you to take the first step in making the rest your best. Welcome to the first episode of Living Your Spark Second Half, first episode of 2023. I'm bringing back a guest, Dr. Lottie Valentin. And if you've been listening for a short time, you might remember her, but she's somebody who had two near-death experiences. She's written a book. She's a medium. She's an expert in the field of ancestral healing. It was episode 262. So if you want to tune in to that before this, so you can get a little background on her. I wanted to bring her back to talk about ancestral healing and to go a little deeper in it because it's something new that I'm starting to delve into just out of curiosity, because I'm always interested in learning more about who I am and what makes me tick and uncovering things that might be obstacles in my life, things that are holding me back from being the best version of me. And so I want to bring that to you so you can be the best version of you. And if you think it's hocus pocus, then maybe this isn't for you. But the thing I want to point out is when we get to about halfway through, she talks about scientific studies, real scientific studies that prove that there is ancestral trauma that is carried down through generations. And it seriously, like, whoa, blows your mind. So if you need the proof and you like the science, then you'll like this, because she is a medical doctor. So she is, you know, a lot about the science. And she is also a medium. So she's like a combination of the two kind of worlds, the woo-woo world and the like reality, 3D science, prove it, physical us instead of the spiritual us. And so, you know, I love her. I instantaneously loved her when I met her on the podcast. And that's one of the things I love about this podcast, that I meet such interesting people. And when she was on the podcast and I found out where she lived, I knew I was going to be there in December for a retreat. And she was nice enough to be accommodating to me when I reached out to her after I arrived. And on short notice, she met me on a weekend for lunch. So I feel like I've gotten to know her a little bit better than a lot of my guests. And I'm excited to work with her because I'm going to do a session with her. And then we're going to come back on and we're going to talk about it, because of course, I like to be open and share what I learn, because whatever I learn is something that is it can help you. And that's what I'm here for, is I want to help you. And like I said, I want to help you live a more sparked second half. And that's what you're going to do this year, I hope. All right. Going to be more sparked than 2022. All right. So go ahead and listen and enjoy all of this interesting stuff. Well, I find it interesting. Hopefully you do too. Bye. Hello. I have back with me Dr. Lottie Valentin, and I wanted to talk to her in more depth about another area of her expertise, which is ancestral healing. So if you don't know what that is, we're going to talk about it today, and I want to introduce it to you. But I also want to refer back, because Dr. Lottie was on back in, it was a few months ago, but it was episode 262. So I want to point you there if you want to hear her backstory and how she got to be a doctor. She's kind of a late bloomer when it comes to medicine. She was at over 50 years old. She went to medical school, but she had two near-death experiences. Like, she died and then she is clairvoyant, and we probably won't talk much about that because we talk about it a lot in the last episode we did. But the other thing is, I liked her so much, and I one of the things I love about a podcast is that I love the people I meet. And she was just somebody I found on Instagram, and I was so interested, and so I reached out, and we ended up meeting in person in early December because I remembered she lived in Arizona and I was going to be there. And so I looked her up. To her surprise, I was like, want to go to lunch? And so we actually met for lunch, and she turned me on to this delicious place, really healthy food. And what was crazy too, is I reached out to another podcast guest and I said, hey, I'm here. I'd love to meet you. And then I told her where I was meeting Lati, and she coincidentally was meeting other clients in the same restaurant at the same time. So it's really crazy. But yeah, so she, I would have like run into her anyways, but I wanted them to connect because they are both very, very interesting people. And so, yeah, we did that. That was so much fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great. Yes. It was great. It was such a great surprise too.
Yeah.
And the weather is so nice in the winter. Yes. Coming to Arizona in the winter is the best.
Yeah. I remember it was kind of cool for Arizona at the time, but it got warm. It was a warm day and the sun came out and they had heaters on because we sat outside and we got really hot. And then you were in the sun, so that you got really hot from that. But yeah, so we, in our meeting, we ended up talking a lot about ancestral healing. And I have some just my mom, her mom, her mom's mom. There's some stuff in my genealogy, I guess you'll call it. And so I'm so fascinated. I haven't delved really into this whole ancestral healing. I haven't, done anything. I want to work with her myself personally, because she's an expert in this area. And so I thought, you need to come back on the episode, on the podcast, and you need to, let's talk about it. Let's introduce it to my audience, some of whom you might not have heard of it before. You might have heard the term. It's like tossed around a little bit here and there now. You hear it a little bit more. You can Google it and find out what the official definition is. But I wanted her, the expert, to come on and share, and also has, I'm sure, great examples. And we can even delve a little bit while we're live into my past. So yeah, thanks for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be a guest on your podcast.
Yeah. So why don't you just explain what it is and, give your, that I really do encourage them to go back to episode 262, but, just a little bit, just your 2-minute version, you said you can do.
My 2-minute background version. So I had 2 near-death experiences, one in 1992 and one in 1994. And I was an atheist before. I didn't believe in any spiritual realms or anything like that. And then during my second near-death experience, I was shown what I call the grid, a grid around the earth. And I was told that everything on earth is connected to each other and everything on earth is connected up to this grid. Well, then I became clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and after many, many years, was guided to go to medical school and was accepted to that program at age of 54. Graduated, did that program in 4 years, and then the 2-year residency afterwards. So I graduated 58, and then as soon as I graduated, was guided to study mediumship at Arthur Findlay College in England. So then that whole side of things came out, and I became a medium and a physician. And then what has happened, it has become this integration of my knowledge as a physician. And going through medical school, we have to study counseling. We have to be able to determine if, this patient needs a referral to a psychotherapist, for some mental condition. So we do study, we have several classes for counseling in medical school. But then after I graduated, I also became interested in ancestral healing. And it was through working as a medium. So that's why the background story. It is such a crazy journey when I look back at it and how things came together. But the way I see life, it's we all have a unique path. We all incarnate to do something specific. And for some people, that could be you know, it doesn't seem, people think it's not important. Oh, I'm just a mom. I'm just taking care of kids, but that's important. That was their incarnation. And that is what they're contributing to the world in that life. So we all have different paths, I would say, in all our different lives. And so for me in this life, it was apparently to first not believe in anything and then have two near-death experiences and then turn my life around and then all of a sudden integrate all the things that I didn't believe in my first half of my life into my second half of my life. And it was working as a medium that I became interested in ancestral healing. So ancestral healing relates to the patterns. Yeah, do you have a question?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I forgot I muted myself. Yeah, I have a question about that topic about, because you say we come for a reason, we incarnate for a reason, which I totally now believe. But you know, people get really stuck on what's my purpose. I have a purpose. I need to find my purpose. And you mentioned being a mom as just one of those things. And so what do you say to somebody who, our second half, I believe, is so much of an opportunity to take what our lived experience has been. And then because I think for a lot of us, some people come into this world with this gift, right? I know I'm a great singer. I know I'm a pianist, and they just don't even need to learn music, and they can, I feel like I was a really late bloomer because I think sometimes we don't find our way. You needed near-death experiences. I probably needed a divorce. That was kind of my path that I went. And some of us never wake up to, which is why my next training is calling Awaken. But we don't wake up to the possibilities, the opportunities, what we're here to do. So what can you say to somebody who's kind of at that place where they're not sure, like they were a mom, but you know, their kids don't need them anymore. And so what is it they're really here to do? Do you have any advice for that?
I would say start by meditating and sit in meditation every day and, you know, just turn inward and listen to I always tell people, listen to your heart, not your mind. Your mind is going to talk you out of things and say, that's not a good idea. Like, why are you thinking you should go back to school? You're too old. That's too expensive. You don't have the money. It'll come up with all these reasons why you shouldn't do something. So it's more tuning into that heart space. And when you're working and when you're doing things that you truly love, then time just flies, right? So because you're in your spirit is in the light. It's just, it doesn't seem like work anymore because you're enjoying so much what you're doing. And so like when my kids were growing up, I would just tell them, I don't care if you go to college. I don't care what you decide to become. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you truly love and enjoy what you do. Because that is, and it doesn't matter if you're great at fixing bicycles, then maybe you will have a bicycle repair shop and everybody will know about you because you have such passion for bikes. You love all the different things. This is different brakes and chains and whatever. And you could talk for hours about this different kinds of bicycles. But, you know, those are the people that are doing what they love to do and they're not worried about what is the status behind that? How much money am I going to make? Am I going to be able to afford to get that car that my neighbor has? You know, it's when you let go of all those expectations and seeking approval from other people and just following and trusting your inner heart space of what it is you're here to do. And sometimes we don't know, and it just changes as we go through life. You know, for the first 30 years, you raise kids, and then you get into this, you know, a little bit of a pickle, all the kids move out and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do the rest of my life now? But that's just, you know, for some people that might just be supporting the kids when they start having their own children or supporting your elderly parents. It could be, you know, anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just all about your heart, you know, doing what feels right.
Yeah. Yeah. And people, I think, sometimes mistake heart for, well, I'm supposed to do this because, you know, I love my parents, versus I really get a lot of deep satisfaction out of doing this activity, you know? So I think that's really important too, because like caregiving can be really draining. And I find there's certain people that are really, really good at it. And then other people who suffer through it, you know, it's like, I got to do this, but yeah. So anyways, I thought that was a really important part, because I think a lot of people listening might be in the boat where, you know, what could I do? What's left to do? What if I did something different type of headspace? All right. So back to ancestral healing. And so you got interested in it after you graduated from med school and as you were working with people?
Right. So after med school, I went to England several times to study mediumship. And as I was working as a medium, this is like 2 or 3 years ago now, I had several readings in a row where the readings were almost identical. And I said, wow, this is really strange. And it was like, almost like I'm doing the same reading as I did yesterday. And I would see, and it was the same pattern. I would see the grandmother. And then I would say, I have your grandmother with me. And she had a very hard life. She was physically abused by your grandfather. And, you know, I see three kids, and one of these kids is your mom. And she was also abused by her dad, which is your grandfather. You know, he would hit her. And I said, is this correct? And the client says, yes. And then I would go on and I would say, your mother then married a person just like her own dad. And he was also abusive, and he hit your mom, and he also hit you. Is that correct? And the client would say, yes. So I had three or four readings in a row that were identical almost. And so I said, what is up with this? Why is that? Why do I see the pattern of this abusive behavior repeating through the generations? It was each generation was doing the same thing. And then it was always the client that I had was always the one who had incarnated to break the cycle. So, right. So it's very interesting. So this is the person that then found me somehow, maybe through a podcast, figured out, oh my gosh, this is my life. And I, you know, maybe I'm the one who incarnated to break the cycle. But that, those readings with a, you know, doing mediumship readings like that, that then led me to study ancestral healing. And I studied under a man whose name is Mark Wulin, and he wrote the book, It Didn't Start With You. So I studied with, you know, 200 other physicians and counselors around the world on Zoom, which was great because twice, you know, I had tried to, the dates when it was an in-person seminar never worked with my schedule. So I was so excited that he finally offered it on Zoom. So here we are, you know, training with other physicians and counselors around the world and for a couple of months, and having to go through our own problems and find issues in each other's lives or ancestors, you know, what can we learn to resolve? But that the things that you inherit, the ancestral healing relates to the traumatic experience, the unresolved issues of trauma, for, you know, for our ancestors. And it's things that were either suppressed or swept under the carpet. Any kind of wrongdoings by your ancestors can come back to a person later on. But any kind of fear that your grandparents might have experienced, deep grief, shame about things. And then all of a sudden it shows up a generation or two later, maybe in the grandchildren who may not even be that familiar with what trauma or grief that your grandparents experienced. And so then the grandchild has, you know, severe anxiety or OCD or any kind of issue, but they can't figure out how it relates to that client's personal life. Right. So there could be a fear of something, but that person has never experienced a fear regarding the issue in their own life.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, I just had a download and thinking about my own heritage, if you will. So, you know, I told you this when we were eating lunch, but there's alcoholism in my family. I think like three generations of women. And what's interesting is my mother was one of three sisters. Her mother was one of three sisters, and she was one of three sisters. So there's like this lineage of three women. And then she married my father, who had three sisters. He was the only male. And so my grandmother was an alcoholic, and she was never happy. I mean, I knew her. We lived close by with them, and we would go to dinner at their house every week. So I would see her drink scotch on the rocks was her choice of drink. To this day, I can't stand the smell of scotch. And I believe that she, well, first of all, you know, if it's modeled, you know, it's going to be imprinted, but she would, she was a military wife. And she got married at 19, and she was really smart. And I think she never did what she really wanted to do. You know, I think she never, and I think maybe in that generation and the generation before her, you know, women were very much, you know, the lesser of the sexes, and you had to do what your husband wanted you to do. And I can't imagine having that to live. I'm just such a woman of the 21st century. I could not imagine being subservient. I've always been very independent, very outspoken. And it made me think, I never thought of this before, but me just really wanting to figure out my purposes, me really wanting to like understand why I'm here and to live and make the most impact, make a difference could be. And you're the expert, but I'm just like putting the puzzle pieces together thinking maybe it's because my grandmother never did. And who knows about her mother and the mother, you know, onward, the mothers of the mothers.
Yes, it could be. It just depends. We would have to. So when you work with a client, it typically goes like this. The client has some kind of problem. It could be. The common ones are, I'm not happy in my relationship. I don't feel seen and heard. I'm the one who's doing all the work, right? Nobody is, my husband's not doing any work. I'm the one who's doing everything. I would really like this job, but I don't know how to get it. I know I'm qualified, but I don't know how to step into my own power. So there is a lot of different, so almost all of those issues would stem actually from a mother wound. So that is a relationship issue with a mother when you were a young child. And so when we start, depending on what that problem is, so let's say this client says, I'm the one, I don't feel seen and heard, right? My husband doesn't do anything. He doesn't listen to me. I'm the one who does everything. So is this something you experienced in your own childhood? You know, sometimes it's easier to see it if it's like a trauma, if you're afraid of something, you have a fear of sirens. Well, you didn't have a traumatic event in your own life regarding sirens. You were never in a big accident or anything like that. And so now you're thinking, okay, well, where is it coming from then? It's not coming from the client's own experiences, right? So it doesn't make sense all of a sudden. Why are you afraid of these things, right? So then you ask a lot of questions, and then we figure out where that pattern originated. Where is that coming from? Where is that fear of sirens coming from? Was there somebody in your family, maybe a grandparent, that served in World War II? Every time he heard the sirens go off, he thought, this is the day I'm going to die. And then that actually changes the gene expression for the grandfather, who then survives the war and then has children, and then he has grandchildren. And now the granddaughter has severe anxiety every time she hears the siren go off. Mm. But see what I'm saying? So it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Why do you have a fear of sirens? You didn't have any experience yourself in this life. So where is that fear coming from? Well, that could be an inherited fear. It's an upregulated, I say it's, you know, it's an upregulated nervous system. We can talk about the different research that has been done on this as well. But that, whenever you have a fear or feeling putting yourself down, having negative thoughts, those things typically come from a mother wound. And it's the relationship between you and your mother as an infant and toddler. And that is how you coped as a child. It's not like you did it to yourself. You know, I hate when people say you gave yourself cancer or blah, blah, blah. We don't give ourselves issues on purpose. There might be a component that has contributed to it, but it's never just one thing either. There's always, you know, your genetics, your predisposition, your own experiences in life, where you live, the environment you were breathing in, what you ate, what you were fed as a child. You know, there's so many different components that go into why somebody is sick. So, but working with issues ancestrally can definitely help resolve issues on different levels, because we are a physical, emotional, and spiritual body. We're not just physical body or just spiritual body. So, you know, when people say, you know, I'm very spiritual, I can heal this stomach issue or cancer or whatever it is on their own. But once you have a problem in your physical body, you also need to use the physical medicine. That's how I look at it. Physical problem in the physical body, let's use what's available in the physical world, because you're trying to heal the physical in the physical. And then you can also heal emotionally and you can heal spiritually, right? And when you incorporate all three areas of healing, I feel that is when you have your best chance of creating healing in your life. And sometimes people don't heal physically, but they may be able to heal emotionally and spiritually and make that transition into the spirit world a lot easier on themselves and family and relatives, right? So we don't know what ticket we chose when we incarnated. Maybe we were supposed to die from cancer, or maybe we were supposed to heal from cancer. Maybe we were supposed to heal from carrot juice, or maybe we were supposed to heal from chemotherapy, but we don't know what ticket we're holding on to. So I always say, use everything you have. We don't know what ticket number you chose in the spirit world.
Well, I think also, because I have a friend who's going through cancer and she's going complete natural because she did a lot of research. And I think what's important is to listen and to go with what your gut and what you feel most comfortable with. You know, you don't do something that you feel like this isn't what I feel is going to work for me. Because you got to believe that whatever you're doing is really going to work. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, whatever your path is, because like you said, you don't know. But one thing that I learned about you is you're very healthy, and you're not the kind of medicine doctor that like is going to immediately prescribe like medicine, because, you know, you just in the choices you made at lunch and the questions you asked the waiter, you know, it's just very clear that you really know that stuff and you know, practice what you preach. You are very, very healthy in what you put in your body.
Yeah, I think it's important to, there's always a reason. Some people might need a pharmaceutical drug, even though they really don't want to use pharmaceutical drugs and they would like to just use botanical medicine or homeopathy or acupuncture. But sometimes the pharmaceutical medicine might be the best choice for the condition that they have and where they're at in that disease process.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that many times they're going to be on it forever. It could be, let's use this blood pressure medication because we really need to get this blood pressure down. Now, granted, are there botanical medicine for that? Absolutely. Do they work super well? Absolutely. But sometimes, depending on the circumstances, depending on, you know, what other things are going on with them. Some people do really well with botanical medicine and other people tend to get an upset stomach, right? Because they're different herbs. So do they have other issues going on? So that's what I'm saying. You have to always do what's right for that person. There is no one glove fits all. And just because your sister or friend did something and they did really well on those supplements or that botanical medicine, it doesn't mean that you will also do well. You have a completely different body. So you have to know your body and, you know, what you're sensitive to, because that really helps too when you're trying to figure out which routes to take.
Yeah. Another question that came up is that I'll ask the second. The thing that I'm curious about is if you have a pain, like say you have this like back problem, or you have this like pain in your neck, or like it just, it's always been there and you can't like understand, you don't really know where it came from. Is that something that can be kind of an ancestral passed up to you or down to you or whatever?
Anything could be ancestral, but anything could also be a medical problem that mm-hmm. has not been diagnosed correctly. Yeah. So I see a lot of that. There are, when people go to the doctor, they think that the doctor knows everything and knows how to cure every single problem or disease that we have. And that is false. We don't. I think going through medical school really taught me how much more it is for us to learn. And many times people have not the classical issues. You have high blood pressure. Here you go. Here's your blood pressure medication. You have a migraine headache. Here you go. Here's your migraine medication. Straightforward. We have pharmaceutical drugs that can help right away, right? So it's easy, or herbal or botanical or whatever we're going to do. But then there is a lot of more chronic illnesses. People who have been to doctors for years, they have sought spiritual help. They have sought different kinds of practitioners out, functional medicine doctors, homeopaths, naturopathic doctors, you name it. And they keep falling through the cracks because everybody says, well, we ran the labs and there is nothing wrong with you, right? So that's called gaslighting. Or if you say, I've had a lot of people that have had quite serious issues that actually required surgery, and they had seen, you know, other people or spiritual workers or doctors. And for the doctors, they're told that there's nothing wrong with you and just, you know, go home. There's nothing wrong on your labs. Well, there, we don't have labs for everything. So a lot of things fall through the cracks. But then also people see spiritual, workers that, or medical mediums or intuitives. I'm not saying that they're all bad, that there are some amazing medical intuitives out there that do fantastic work. But sometimes what I've heard from my clients is, you know, they saw somebody like that and was told, you know, you just need to have more smoothies. You have to have more celery juice or carrot juice, or you just need to have to take fish oil and blah, blah, blah. When in fact, these people actually needed surgery. They had a serious condition. So again, they're being gaslighted by the spiritual workers, medical intuitives. They're being gaslighted by the physicians because they're falling through the cracks because there are no good actual tests for the conditions that they have. So it's a very, it's a tough landscape to maneuver in for people that are struggling with any kind of chronic illness out there, because the 10 different doctors that they saw were all specialists. They saw a gastroenterologist, they saw a neurologist, they saw a dermatologist, they saw a rheumatologist, right? It just goes on and on and on. And each of them have their little tiny slice of that pizza that they're really good at. But they're not the doctor that's going to see you connect all the dots, right? That's going to be like a functional medicine doctor or a general practitioner, naturopathic physician that may have experience in saying, wait a second, a red flag is going off in my head, because you said you had all these different symptoms. You have joint pain, you have dizziness, you have bad menstrual periods, you have, you know, all these different conditions. But they're told that they have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, when in fact, maybe they have endometriosis, because now you're connecting the dots to, oh, you also have like severe cramping with your periods, and you have a lot of bleeding, you may have infertility and all these different issues. And then they go to the doctor, they go to the OBGYN, they get a birth control pill to control their bad menstrual cycle. They go to the gastroenterologist, they're told they have IBS. But the truth is that they had endometriosis growing into their bowels. Mm-hmm. And so they needed to have resect that, take that out, cut it out via surgery. And now all of a sudden, everything works great again. And they don't have IBS at all. They had endometriosis that was actually growing in, penetrating into that layer.
So it sounds to me like it's the luck of the draw. Like you just happen to find somebody who knows enough that they're going to help you, which sounds kind of frustrating. What would you say to somebody who does have a chronic condition and has tried a bunch of different things? What's their next step?
Yeah, that's the tough one. I would say just keep keep going, keep looking for the next doctor, the next physician, and just be aware that if they don't see you or understand your issue, and they tell you to just have more celery juice or take fish oil, go to the next person because it's probably a more serious problem, especially if they're really suffering. They can't really lead a normal life. They just haven't found the person that had the experience of connecting those dots because it's unusual.
Yeah. I guess. And if you believe that, you know, the universe has your back, then you could always set an intention that you're going to solve this friggin' thing and you're just going to keep pursuing and something will probably drop, you know, into your lap. You'll be at a party and somebody will be a doctor there, or somebody will know a doctor or have a doctor that helped them with a similar condition. So I would say, yeah, keep persevering and keep making sure the universe knows that you're going to get to the bottom of it and you believe that you will as well. So I know it's hard when you have a chronic condition. So my other question that I wanted to ask was, how do these emotional wounds and the pain, and I understand too, because I was like Googling this before our call, that also there's not just negative stuff, but positive stuff can be passed along as well. So how does that happen? From a science perspective,
So there's a couple of studies. I would say one of the best studies is epigenetic inheritance of ancestral odor fear conditioning. And it's a study that was led by Brian Diaz back in 2013. And it was published in Nature Neuroscience, I believe. And in that study, it's fascinating because you're going to understand the grandfather that was in the war, afraid of sirens, then the granddaughter's born, or she's afraid of sirens, right? But think about that story now when you hear about the mice study. So they took the male mice and they exposed the male mice to a cherry blossom smell. But every time the mice smelled the cherry blossom, he got a little electric shock. So he learned very quickly to fear the cherry blossom smell. Then they took the sperm from the male mice, artificially inseminated the female mice who had never been exposed to the cherry blossom or the electric shock. And then her offspring and even the grandchildren, their next set of offspring, were all jumpy and around the cherry blossom smell, even though they had never smelled it. And then they realized that it was the M71 receptor. That's just what it's called, detects DNA, the cherry blossom smell. And the offspring had more M71 receptors, so they could detect the cherry blossom smell on even lower levels than the original mice because they had more receptors for the cherry blossom smell. Now, when you think of, you know, the granddaughter that has this fear of sirens, you know, we know that it's genetically passed down on the DNA. We could see that with the mice too. And that's what's, you know, how, so does she have then an upregulated nervous system for sirens, anxiety, watching out, this is the day I'm going to die, panic attacks, right? Makes perfect sense when you look at that mice study. And they've even done studies on humans. And there was one study that was called Holocaust exposure induced intergenerational effects on the FKBP5 methylation. I know it's a long title. So what they did in this study is they looked at the survivors of the Holocaust, right? So here we have the grandfather in the war scene and then looked at the offspring. And we already know that the methylation has changed on that FKBP5 gene down to the grandchildren's level. So, you know, we're waiting for the next generation to see how, you know, does it go on and on. But, you know, that methylation is just a methyl group, is a biochemical reaction that happens in the body and that basically switches DNA's code on and off via, you know, different proteins and things like that. So we can see that. We can see that these survivors have changed the methylation on that gene. So now think about when you start thinking, okay, so the egg that I come from, when did my mom make that egg? The egg that you came from, your mother made when she was a 20-week-old fetus in your grandmother's womb. Mm. So now when you start thinking, wow, I come from the egg my mom made when she was in my grandmother's womb. What was going on in my grandmother's life at that time? Oh, yeah, she lived through World War II. That's what was going on, right? And so what changed that, you know, so now your egg, the egg that you come from, already has all that DNA in it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it goes back. So you're not even thinking about that because that's just how you came in. You inherited that.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy. That's really crazy. You think about physical characteristics, but you don't think about like, because that's senses, you know, smelling and hearing and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Is that, I mean, it triggers emotional response, but you know, you don't think that your DNA would carry those different things. It's just crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These studies are so eye-opening. Thank you so much for sharing the science. So
yeah, go ahead. No, it is. It's amazing that we even know that, because who would have thought that we actually inherit the past traumas and grief and worries and fears from our grandparents?
Yeah.
It actually comes in on our DNA.
Yeah.
I say it comes in DNA and energetically.
So when my mom was conceived by my grandparents, she had a sister who died right before, you know, so she was like the first living child. And you can imagine their fear when she was born that she was going to die. And then she was a year old and she got TB. So they were like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine what my grandmother was feeling like, because her first baby lived a couple days. So it wasn't even a miscarriage. She actually had a born baby and she was sick. My grandmother got cancer. That was my mom's kind of experience. But yeah, so my question was how, once you, okay, so you can say, all right, this makes sense now. There is a reason I might be afraid of sirens, and I want to delve into this. How do you get over that? How do you heal that?
So many times when you're working with something ancestrally like that, you know, doesn't make sense. The client did not have an experience in their own life involving the sirens, right? So that's important. You got to rule that out, because it could be like a trauma event that they experienced. So it's not really ancestral at all. It's just coming from their own experience in life. It's the trauma that they experienced. But when there is no correlation to their fear, let's say, and their actual experiences in their own life, then you're kind of thinking, okay, well, where is it coming from then? Where did you pick up this fear along the way? So are you looking for an answer on what was your question?
You've kind of like identified what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Through, I imagine, working with somebody like you, because you can't really do it on your own. You can probably say, because with, you know, the fact that you're a medium, you can really uncover a lot for somebody. But say, like, you know, you have this fear and you don't know where it came from. So, okay, so let me dig more into it. And then you figure out it was from your grandfather. So is just knowing where it came from enough to heal it? Or is there more work that needs to be done in order to
get over that fear? Once you understand where it came from, why you're struggling with the issue, then you go through this whole healing around that. I take them through a guided meditation, and we heal that. But then the next time, once you see where the problem is coming from, then you can also heal it, because it's not a problem anymore, because now you understand, oh, that problem came from this event. Oh yeah, my grandfather was in the war. Or yes, my mother had all these issues. Oh my gosh, I never saw the pattern before. Or my father was an alcoholic and now I married an alcoholic. Patterns repeat within families too. And so all those patterns that we repeat are also ancestral.
Yeah.
So why did we repeat the pattern? You know, how do we heal that pattern?
It's like fear has a face all of a sudden. It's like you don't know where it is, where it's coming from. Is it under the bed? Is it in the closet? You're like, you don't know when it's going to come next. And then it's like revealed and it's like, oh, and then it's not so much of a thing to be afraid of anymore. Right.
Right. I look at it's like the energy in the universe is in disequilibrium. So think of it like a choppy waves on an ocean. Right. Somebody did something wrong. There was a wrongdoing. There was grief. There was trauma. You know, lost, you know, somebody like you're in your own family. There was a lot of grief. There was a lot of fear of the child surviving and a lot of grief. Sometimes it could be a wrongdoing. Something maybe, I'm just going to make it up, but maybe your mother felt guilty for not being able to keep that child alive. Maybe she's thinking, if I had just done this, if I had just brought them to the doctor sooner, but we didn't have any money. And now she blames herself for the death of that sibling, right? So those are traumatic experiences that have been like pushed down. And so then that creates those choppy waves on the ocean. And now you realize what happened, you know, what transpired with your ancestors. And now you understand where you're having an issue. And then you create healing for that, because now all of a sudden you create healing. And so you create, you know, homeostasis in the universe. And now those choppy waves are just like the ocean turns into looking like a mirror, right? It's the stillness because you created healing for that. And now you don't have that worry keep coming up. And if it does come up, you remind yourself, oh yeah, this is not really mine. This was my mom's issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I took on that issue, that same issue she had, and repeated that pattern. Mm. And we do these things subconsciously. It's a subconscious mind of, we take on our parents' issues because we have unconditional love for our parents as infants and children, because we literally depend on them for survival. And so it's called like merging or aligning with that behavior that your mother is experiencing. So many times what I see working with clients is they tell me, you know, I say, tell me about your mom. And then I say, tell me about your problem. And what they're saying, what their problem is completely related back to how they describe their mother and their mother's issues. And so I say, do you see the pattern? And then all of a sudden they say, oh my gosh, this is, I'm doing the exact same thing my mom did. But in the meantime, they had sort of rejected mom and I didn't like what my mom did. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So these are the unresolved issues. You know, your mom couldn't resolve that issue. You merge with that, you align with that, you take on that issue, and it repeats.
Mm. Yeah. I love when you said that people come to you because they're the ones meant to break the cycle, which I think is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of
absolutely. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we live in a world too, that there's so much more knowledge of this stuff that people didn't have access to before. And so there's more opportunities for understanding and maybe seeking help, to get to the bottom of it. Cause we all want to live our best lives while we're here.
Definitely. Right.
Yeah.
The more issues you can resolve in this life, that's how I look at it, the less of those issues will show back up in my next life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I always say, I'm not going to redo this life. It was way too much work. I'm going to try and resolve as much as I possibly can. Because when you do an ancestral healing, not only do you resolve your own issues, right? It's like a load of bricks fall off your shoulders, because all of a sudden you have that, what I call the aha moment. The lights go on. You understand, oh my gosh, this is why I have this feeling. It comes from this source over here. Could be mom, could be dad, could be an aunt, an uncle, grandma, grandpa. It could be siblings. It could be that baby that died before you. You can even merge or align with the feelings of those that passed, your siblings. So there's a lot of different ways that you can take on and merge and align with these issues, and issues are repeated. And it's just a matter of figuring out what it is that's causing, where it's coming from. And once you can figure that out, you can create healing for it.
Mm, yeah, I love that. So interesting. So thank you so much for coming on and explaining what it is and giving really good examples and sharing the science, because that is so important for a lot of people. So, and especially it's so funny for you as a former atheist. I think that probably you needed the science in a lot of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there anything that we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about in terms of, you know, the subject, the topic of ancestral healing? I want to share too how people can work with you if they're curious and they have something that came up while they were listening and it's something they can heal. I also know that you partner with some platforms and do some trainings. So how best can they consume what you have to offer?
Yeah. So to work with me directly, they would go to drlottie.com and click on work with Dr. Lottie spiritually. And once you click that, you'll see all the different sessions I offer: ancestral healing, medical intuitive, etc., mediumship readings, psychic readings. And I also work, collaborate with HemiSync, and I have a button on my website. You can click on HemiSync, or you can go straight to HemiSync, HemiSync. So it's hemispheric synchronization of the two, left brain and right brain. And so I developed ancestral healing, healing your ancestral mother wound. And I'm actually in the process of developing a second series, which I can't talk about yet, but I can tell you it's coming. So trying to create healing and help people. And that is a very affordable way for those people that cannot afford to work with me one-on-one. To go and get that, you can just download it as an MP3 or you can get the CD. It's somewhere like between $20 and $30, depending on, you know, if you choose MP3 or CD is going to be more expensive because they have to mail it, etc. But that is a great way of, and it's four tracks in that series. And I take you through the first track, just explaining what mother wound is and all the different common ways that we have a mother wound, and even people who have the best parents. So when I studied ancestral healing, I said, I don't have any ancestral wounds because I love my parents. My parents were great. I come from a great family. And then you start digging and you say, well, wow, wait a second. And you realize that there are many things that are sort of under the surface that you think were just normal until you start looking at it and start dissecting that. And a common one is the people pleaser and the way we were raised in our era. Little girls were to be seen and not heard. We were talking back to mother was not, you know, something we were allowed to do. And so you suppress a lot of those feelings and then that turns into a mother wound. But we don't think about it because we think of our mothers as being lovely and caring and wonderful. And that behavior that so many of us were taught in the 1960s actually creates a mother wound. So it's fascinating. So that's an easy way for people to start create healing for themselves, is just to go to HemiSync and get that ancestral healing, healing your mother wound.
Yeah, I have a quick question that's come up, and it's like, if you didn't have a relationship with a mother, is there a mother like kind of influence, even though like a maternal influence, if you don't have, weren't raised by a female or had that relationship, she left?
Yeah. So there's all these different reasons why you would have a mother wound.
Okay.
Yeah. And that could be one reason. And then it exhibits itself depending on what you incarnated for. I would say there's issues that arise from a mother wound. So in that four track series, it's like a 2 hour long journey. So you might have to do it, you know, half an hour a day, because it's a lot to digest, because a lot of things will come up as you listen to those first track. You know, the first track is just go over explaining things. And then in the second track, start thinking about what it is you're having an issue with. And then I take you through, there's even worksheets to help you, guide you through that process, and then how to create healing for it. And then the fourth track is we do a healing for that. So I take you on a shamanic meditative journey in the track three and track four, to the first one, to remember things and see things more clearly. and where these issues come from. And then in the fourth track, to create healing for what it is that you came in to heal today. But the nice part is that you can listen to it over and over again. So, you know, you have one issue and then you heal that. And then you realize there is another issue. So now you have to heal that. So, and then I also teach ancestral healing for the Theosophical Society. And I have a class coming up in March. And again, you just go to my website and you click on events, and then that will have a link that takes you to the Theosophical Society.
That sounds great. I'm going to go order it because I want to go through it before I book a session with you. I think there'll be, you know, do a little inner work before we meet. But that's awesome. Thanks so much. So many resources. One thing I'll say about Dr. Lati is she has such a big heart. She is like, so putting herself out there. One of her goals is to impact as many people as she can. And so that's one of the reasons that she's partnered with some of these other platforms, is because, you know, she can reach more people and make a bigger impact. So I love that about you.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I incarnated as a healer. So I'm aware of that according to my astrology, my numerology, and everything. So I understand that I'm here to do that. And I've been told also in sessions from my own teachers, you're here to break the patterns. That's one of my, I guess one of the things that's on my sticky note that I wrote up in heaven before I came down to earth. I said, all right, I'll go do that. So
you had a sticky note,
right? I always joke about how we have a sticky note with us in heaven, and before we incarnate, we sit at that table and we say, oh, I'll take that. Number 43, that's just, marriage issues. I'll do that one. That's easy. I'll also take number 126, please. That is to break the patterns in my family. Oh, it's going to be so easy. And you come down with this whole backpack. So I talk about this in my book, how we, you know, med school after menopause, the journey of my soul, which is really about transformation and healing. But I talk about it in my book, and we put this backpack on, we fly down to earth, we incarnate, and then we forget about all these sticky notes. And then we go through life and we try to resolve all these issues. So all the messages that you wrote to yourself before you incarnated, that's, you know, I'm working on getting rid of all of those so that I have very few left for my next life. You know, how much can I resolve in this lifetime?
Yeah, that's so, so cool. What a great way to end. What is your sticky note? Think about that. What did you put on your sticky note? And spend your 2023 trying to come up with what those things are that you put on your sticky note that you haven't yet done. So you don't want to have to come back and do them all over again. One thing that I learned, and I read a book a while ago that was just really eye-opening to me, and one of the things I really got from it was that, you know, we have our souls, and some souls grow slow, and some in a lifetime can really elevate, can really, you know, it was funny because this guy was a hypnotist, and he said everybody who came in to him felt like they were an old soul. And he's like, and the funny thing is, if you're an old soul, you don't really need to come in and get hypnotized, you know, you don't have problems as much. But anyways, it was just really interesting. And so some people, if they don't come here and do what they're meant to do, then their soul hasn't grown, because those are the things that they're going to do to make their soul grow and to reach whatever that next level. Some souls might not ever reach that next level. But so I thought that was really powerful, because I was like, I am here to grow my soul. That's what I really want to do. And so I always think about that as I'm like, fear sets in about doing something or having a new challenge. And I'm like, hey, my soul needs this to grow. Right.
Right. No, that's how I look at it too. It's my soul growth.
Yeah.
And, the more issues that I can resolve, then hopefully the better off I'll be in the next life.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's so great. All right. Before I sneeze again, thank you so much for being on here. And I look forward to having more contact with you, because I know outside of this, I'll be in Phoenix again and we can get together. So I'm looking forward to more lunches with you.
Right. Yeah, me too. It's always a pleasure to be a guest. So
yes. All
let
right.
me know when you get back to Phoenix.
Yeah, what I really want to do is And we talked about this, is I really want to do a session with you and then come back and talk about like what I uncovered and revealed. Cause like I'm an open book and I'm certainly willing to share it, because if I find value in something, I really want to share it so other people know about it, that it's available to you if you want to delve into those things. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Living Your Spark Second Half podcast. If you'd like to watch my guest interviews, you can find the video version of this podcast on my Not Your Average Grandma YouTube channel. Also, you can check out what I have going on at the moment by going to my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com or find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you like this episode, please mention it to a friend and don't forget to leave a review so I know the topics you like best and can bring you more of that content in upcoming episodes. Last but not least, remember to always listen to that inner voice that will never steer you wrong and make living from the most sparked place possible your biggest priority. When we do that, we make the world a better place.